and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. Here we are making our way through the book of Romans, roaming through Romans, as they say. And by they, I mean me here in this podcast room as I talk to you about Romans. Chapter 6 is on the docket today. We've been through quite a bit. Chapters 1 through 4, clearly kind of its own segment. Justification by grace through faith, talked a lot about that. Chapter 5's big transition. That is, okay, now that you've been justified by grace through faith, we talked about what that means quite a bit. Now then, what does your life look like? And well, that is chapter 5 we talked about, a couple different podcasts. Your life is in Christ. So because of that, there is hope. And because of that, we are certain of the resurrection and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also talked about the Adam, second Adam thing. That was the last podcast. In Adam, we have all been one huge rebellious man, as the hymn puts it, but there is a second Adam in whom we live. Thanks be to God who gives us the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was how chapter 5 ended. And now, with this chapter 6, it's almost like Paul goes on a two-chapter excursus, or an aside, as they call it, where he says, it's almost like you can anticipate somebody listening to Paul and say, okay, we're justified, we're made, declared righteous by faith, received by faith, it's done by grace, our life is in Christ, and it's almost like Paul anticipates one of his hearers saying, yeah, but I'm still in the flesh, and yeah, but there's still the law, and yeah, but my loved one still died while confessing Christ, that sort of thing. So what in the world do we do with sin and death and law in the here and the now in light of being justified by grace through faith, living in Christ now? What do we do with all this sin, death? That's really the question here for chapters 6 and 7. Again, like kind of a two-chapter, well, let me tell you about that stuff. And today, the big answer will come in with baptism. Maybe you've heard this text before. It's a beautiful one. If you don't have it, at least a couple phrases out of it memorized, probably be a good idea to do so, because it's just so essential for who we are. It's just so rich. Romans is a fun thing. I hope you've been enjoying it. I don't really hang out much on the New Testament side of things. There you go. The cat's out of the bag. I spend more time in Hebrew and all that sort of thing in the Old Testament. But boy, this is just so dense and rich, and it's really beautiful. Romans, of course, is a big hitter, and people kind of know some things about it. I've really liked coming to learn it in a new way through these podcasts with you. So I can only hope that that feeling is mutual, as they say. So let's jump into the text. I'm going to think through Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. I think that'll cut it for today. And here we go. Here's the text. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alrighty, so there you have the text of Romans chapter 6. You can see there how Paul is addressing a particular anticipated response. That is, I mean, he's talking, their words for sin and death are all over the place. Died, death, dying, sin, slave, that sort of thing. He's thinking through the fact that, okay, well, Paul, this is great, but is there any sort of change in the present tense for the Christian, having been justified by grace through faith? What does that mean for my life right here, right now? Is there any sort of change? And he says, absolutely, it has everything to do with the fact that we've been baptized, all right? This whole justification thing is not separated from baptism, and this whole baptism thing is not separated from your life right here, right now. First thing up for bats is, well, that's the thing, is that, boy, this is the tension, isn't it? Is that, well, okay, we're free from sin, yay, and yet, no, we're not free from this impulses and habits and tendencies and all these sorts of things that also stick to this old Adam's flesh. So what do we do with that? How do we interpret the fact that we're saved, believe in Jesus, justified by grace through faith, and yet at the same time, we have this old flesh, this old nature? How does that all work out? And this is how it does. It has everything to do with baptism, Paul says. In fact, one of the longest treatments of baptism that Paul gives us, unless, of course, you count the letter of 1 Peter as a baptismal sermon. That would be kind of another thing to throw in there. But anyway, here's what he says. What shall we say then? Okay, he's already kind of thinking through, well, what are you going to conclude from this? Well, what if I'm hearing this message about justification by grace through faith and thinking, oh, well, righteousness of God is just a pure gift? Well, then why don't I just live my life and do whatever I want to? Because if God loves to forgive sin, hey, it seems like my old flesh loves to sin, so we've got a match made in heaven. And Paul says, what shall we then say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Paul here is making one thing very clear right out of the start. The justified life is actually died to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Now, oh, what about those who are in profound struggles and they're addicts to, whatever the case is? Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in chapter 7, where Paul acknowledges the fact that, look, I'm at war here with my flesh. I'm not doing what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. Who can save me from this terrible reality? Paul is very down to earth. He knows a thing or two about all of this, but at the same time, having been justified in Christ, having been baptized, means that we have died to sin. We have actually put to death the sin that condemns us, the sin that drives us to despair. That is now put to death. How is that? Because I still see it raging in my body? Well, we see it when we look into that death into which we've been baptized. Because the story of your sin is the story of what happened on the cross. When you see that death, the crucifixion on Calvary, you see the story of your own sin. That's you. That's your old Adam's life right there being put to death. Or do you not know, verse 2, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptism does for us the only thing that, the one thing needful, as they say, the only thing that was really going to be the remedy for our situation of being by nature sinful and unclean, thought, word, and deed, and all that. That has placed our old Adam on the cross of Calvary with Christ. That's what baptism has done for us. It is a killing off. And the only kind of killing off that could have happened is not something that we're going to be able to overcome ourselves. Just look at some of the problems we deal with in the flesh. I mean, do we need any reminder that we live in a broken world, that we're a slave to our passions, and that out of the heart proceeds murder, thoughts, adulteries, evil, fornication, all these sorts of things? That's the beauty of baptism, that baptism is a killing off of the sorts that we could never do by ourselves. And the only kind of killing that would really save us is to kill off the old Adam by tying him to the cross with Christ, by nailing him, as it were, to Christ so that Christ could nail him to the cross of Calvary. It's a putting to death once and for all, a kind of killing off that we could never do ourselves. That's the beauty of baptism. That's also the beauty of how baptism works, because that means that our life right here, right now, 2017 is the year right now, is defined first and foremost through what happened in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It has united us with him in a way that nothing else can, not your own good thoughts and good morals and helping old ladies across the street. Baptism has defined you in a way that nothing else in this world ever will. That's the thing about culture, right? We're caught up in this identity crisis. Well, who am I and how am I born that way and all these sort of, what things are most fundamental about who you are? And Paul says, look no further than baptism, because baptism has given you a kind of shape and meaning that you will never be able to pull off yourself. And that is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Baptism means that his story is your story. We were crucified with Christ. We were also buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. The burial is there as well. That is a key, that is, death has been, to the old Adam, to your old nature, through baptism, it has been killed off and buried for good. It has confirmed the fact that it is dead as a doornail. What should we say? The fact that this is so central in some of the key early church confession. How do I put this? You see that, for example, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the fact that, hey, look, what I gave to you is what was given to me. And that is that Christ was for our sins. What is it? How's it go? Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Then he appeared and so on and so forth. When there's some like early church creeds that would include the burial. Well, we still have that today. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. This is the sort of thing that's been confessed since day one, that the burial is huge here. Well, that is also the case of what baptism does for you and me, dear listener, and that is, it has confirmed the fact that that old nature, when you see the cross, when you see the crucifixion, and you see also our Lord's burial, that is your story of the old Adam not only just dying, but being completely drowned in the earth, as it were, so that a new man can rise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever, as Luther would put it. His story is our story. And that burial, of course, then what's the next story? Well, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You can kind of see the similarity there with Luther's catechism and the language here, that we might walk in newness of life. So that's the other thing about baptism, is that when you see the resurrection from the dead, when you see our Lord emerging from that tomb, that burial, baptism means that you are looking at also yourself. That is the end of your story too. That even with the death rate at 100%, right, that's where we're all headed, that's the end of your story right there. Baptism means that, baptism gives you a picture of the end of the story right here, right now, and says that's also your life too, through baptism. There's lots to say about this. We should probably take a quick break now, but baptism is key here for all of this, and it really helps us to understand this whole thing about justification. You can't separate the fact that, well, we love Romans for all of its justification talk, but then baptism is totally separate. No, not at all. This is the justified life. This is how it looks, and we're going to have to talk a little bit more about how that all fits in past, present, and future. So good stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin, is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcasts, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Romans chapter 6, the first part of this chapter, very rich, talking all about baptism. It just amazes me how baptism is this whole dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, being raised with Christ. It just, the amazing thing about baptism, it doesn't even care about time. It just makes this sort of reality yours right here, right now. It's just like, oh my goodness. It's just like, well, maybe baptism is sort of like something that'll, as a promise that something good will happen to you later on down the road. No, there's a reality right here, right now, that is yours, and it has to do with the end result of life with Christ in heaven, and yet you're already kind of enjoying that even right now, because time with baptism just doesn't really, baptism kind of pushes through time. It doesn't really care about time. It's just, listen to some of the other ways that, I was just thinking about this, because the many ways that Paul talks about being the baptism and what it does. So you're buried, how's it go? There's another passage in Ephesians, you were having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. So you have the burial and raising again. But you also have this sort of, in Galatians 3, as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there's this, you've been united with Christ in baptism, the dying, the burial, the rising. But there's also this kind of present tense, you've put on Christ right here in the now. And that just leads me to all these other profound statements from Paul about what the baptized life is. Ephesians 2, you've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've been seated. Baptism has made you like enjoy heaven right here, right now, even though you're not there yet. It's just crazy good. And this is the brilliant thing about Paul, is that when he talks about life with Christ, he just says it in so many different ways that it's like language can only go so far. You've been buried with Christ. You've been crucified with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. There's a coming to life with Christ. You've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You've been delivered with Christ. Being with Christ. You will be in the end with him, as in the end times. It's like there's just so much. How much can language do about the fact that baptism has made your life so thoroughly and utterly Christ-centered that it is just really no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. There's just no, it's like Paul is trying to find every single way that he possibly can with human language to say the fact that baptism is completely, in baptism, as Luther, I'm drawn from Luther here now, but in baptism you have more than enough to study for your entire life. That everything about you is defined by Christ, past, present, and future. The burial, the dying, burial and resurrection. Oh, those things happened so many years ago. That's what makes you you right here, right now. There's nothing more certain about you and your life than Christ dying, being buried, and rising again. There is nothing more certain about your existence than those events, and that is because of your baptism. If we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. It's a fascinating thing, isn't it, that we think, okay, yeah, but no, we're still enslaved to the flesh. And yet Paul says, no matter how much enslavement is there, no matter how bad the addiction is, no matter how bad the, you know, there's this reality of the fact that what has been given you in baptism is far greater. Yes, there's more to say there about the struggles of the flesh, and Paul will get into that in Romans 7. There's certainly that war, and I talked about it earlier. But the beautiful thing about baptism, it just changes everything, that the struggles that we have right now with the flesh are the kinds of struggles that, for the Christian, can join us even more closely to the form of Christ's death, to give us a kind of, we've been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that it might be, that even right now our struggles might conform us to the image of Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. That's the awesome thing about Paul here, is that the same language that he uses for Christ dying to sin, where is it? That Christ, the death he died to sin, verse 10. So also that's the language that we have, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ and Jesus. You see, what's happened is that this is the kind of thing that baptism means for us in the here right now. The struggles with sin, the flesh, is that there's this continual being conformed to the image that we've been given, the image of Christ crucified, buried, and raised again. That's who we are. And for the Christian, the kind of struggles that we have, the war against the flesh, the sufferings, the afflictions, the persecutions, all of those things mold us, and they are never without meaning because of baptism. That means every one of those things that happens to us, the afflictions, the hits that we take for the sake of our Lord, all of these things work to mold us and shape us into the very image into which we've been baptized. It's a fascinating thing, isn't it? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. There is a huge amount of tension in all of this, isn't there? The fact that this is a reality right here, right now, but at the same time, yeah, we struggle with the flesh, and we are afflicted in every way, persecuted, all of these things. We wait for the day when we have that kind of final consummation, the fact that that the baptism, the kind of end times realized life of the baptized, as in life with Christ forever. We wait for that. We long for that. And yet, so that's the not yet. We're not there yet. We're still here. Still alive. It's flesh, right? Flesh and blood. That's what we have. And yet at the same time, the dying and rising for us, the dying of this life and the right being raised to new life with Christ, to live forever with him, is such a present reality that there is nothing more certain about you than what baptism has given to you and done for you. There's nothing more certain about who you are than the fact that you have been baptized. There's nothing more sure about your entire existence than what baptism has made of you. And that is precisely because it has connected you, clothed you, incorporated you into Christ Jesus our Lord. So you must consider yourselves, reckon yourselves dead to sin, alive. Think of yourselves right here, right now, as dead to sin and alive to, oh, but I still have weaknesses and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, okay, but consider yourselves dead to sin. Yeah, but I still struggle and I have this, you know, whatever. Consider yourselves dead to sin. Yeah, but I don't feel very alive. Well, consider yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, I still have all these burdens and I just don't know about all these big questions, the meaning of life. Consider yourself alive to Christ. Yeah, but all the daily pressures and the anxieties of just being alive and all this stuff, I just don't know how much this life is. But consider yourself alive to God in Christ Jesus. There's this tension between the now and the not yet when it comes to our life with Christ. Yeah, we're not yet there. And yet at the same time, the now is so certain. It's the most certain thing about us right here, right now, that right now we have new life with Christ. We are already this very second participating in what we will be eternally. And so how does that change things for the here and now? So there's a now and not yet, but here's the thing, dear listener, and that is, let's think about how the not yet can really be the ultimate lens for living the life here and now. Would that change anything about the right now if you knew for sure the not yet? And Paul would say, absolutely. As you go through your routine, as you look at the schedule, as you deal with the pressures of life, as you struggle with the flesh, as you take your hits, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. As you're confused about the meaning of life and suffering from something that you just can't make sense of, or you're going through the toughest thing you've ever been through in your life, or you're in a really good spot and you're very happy and thankful for all the wonderful things, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is the case, wherever you're at in life right now, whatever it is that you're up to, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because that end times reality, the fact that we will be with Christ forever and ever, is the most sure and certain thing about us in heaven and on earth. And that is the case for this very second. So whatever it is that you're going up against, however it is that whatever kind of, you know, things you're getting into these days, approach it with the kind of lens that our baptisms have given us. And that is the end of the story. We know right up front, the not yet is completely ours this very second. So, dear listener, have fun in the here and now. Live life in light of the end of the story, because our baptism into Christ allows us to do just that. It's already a done deal. We are who we are this very second. Let's have some fun. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. Very cool stuff in Romans. Probably some more to say there, but that's kind of the nutshell of what's going on here. Baptism, lots of good stuff when baptism comes. Just so profound, the gifts that our Lord gives us and how rich they are for the here and now. I hope you're cruising through with me. I hope you're liking the study. I'm learning a thing or two about it, and I hope that the case is the same for you, too, as well. Please consider mentioning this podcast to your family and friends so that they, too, can learn more about Romans with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments, to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, I'm Brian Gurman, wishing you God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll be right back.